I was putting myself out there. On my return to San Francisco from a gloomy Thanksgiving with my mother in Illinois, I downloaded Tinder, Bumble, and a few other dating apps I'd seen Instagram ads for. I was 30, too young to accept a life void of excitement, romance, and perhaps eventually the lively antics of a child. I resolved to pass judgment on several hundred men per day and to make an effort to message the few I matched with. I was picky enough that this seemed not wholly absurd. It would be like a new workout routine, a daily regimen to forestall a future of more permanent aloneness and enjoy my relative youth in the meantime. I'd never liked the idea of finding a romantic partner on an app, the same way you'd order pizza or an Uber. Such a method seemed to reduce love to another transaction. I had always felt it catered to lazy, unimaginative people. A worthy man would be out in the world doing things, not swiping on women's pictures in his dim apartment like a coward. To further complicate matters, it was estimated that men on dating apps in the city were now 50% blots. But what choice did I have? Apps seemed to be the way everyone found each other these days. After my last breakup, I spent a while letting something happen, which meant doing nothing. Years passed, and nothing did happen, and I realized that without my intervention, my hand pushing against the warm back of fate, it was possible nothing ever would. In the end, it seemed to come down to never dating again or taking the chance of being blotted. Though I suppose there had always been risks. The early blots had been easy to identify. They were too handsome, for one thing. Their skin was smooth and glowing, and they were uniformly tall and lean. Jawlines you could cut bread with. They were the best-looking men in any room and had no sense of humor. I met one of these early blots several years ago. My friend Peter had invited me to a dinner party hosted by a tech founder he'd grown up with in the Sunset District, and with whom he'd once followed the band Fish around the country, selling nitrous and poppers to concertgoers. Peter and I didn't really hang out beyond the meetings we attended in church basements for people who no longer drank. But I was bored, and it was a free dinner, and Peter made it sound like he'd already asked a bunch of other people who'd said no, which took some of the pressure off. At dinner, I sat next to a guy named Roger. He had the telltale blot look. High forehead, lush hair, shapely eyebrows. But I didn't recognize him for what he was because the blot phenomenon hadn't yet been exposed. Roger was solicitous, asking about my family, my work as a teacher, and my resentment toward the tech industry. When I declined the server's offer of wine, Roger's golden eyes flared with recognition, and he asked if I was in recovery. I said yes, for 5 years at that point, and he nodded gravely, saying he admired my commitment to this lifestyle. His dear aunt was also sober. Roger seemed eager to charm, but I was not charmed. I felt spotlighted by his attentiveness, his anticipation of what I might want, another helping of fava bean salad, more water, an extra napkin when I dropped a chunk of braised pork on my skirt. I would say something self-deprecating, and he'd regard me steadily and assure me that I was a wonderful person, deserving of all I wanted from life, which wasn't what I'd been asking for. Roger didn't know me, and wasn't a credible judge of my worth, unless his position was that all people had worth, which made him no judge at all. When I shifted the subject to him, he supplied a backstory that seemed pre-written. "I came from ranch land in the northern United States," he told me. "My father was stern but loving in his way. My mother is a wonderful woman who raised the four of us into strong, capable adults. My childhood was not without hardship, but these adversities shaped me into the person I am today. Now I live in San Francisco Bay Area, land of innovation and possibility. I am grateful for the life I have been given, and I know it is thanks to the people who have loved and supported me on the journey." I forced a chuckle of acknowledgement. "Wow," I said. "That's great." As I drove Peter back to the Richmond district in my decrepit Corolla, he revealed that his friend, the event's host, had sprinkled the dinner party with blots.